This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Tina Arena and Call Me. That's, of course, from her Songs of Love and Loss, Volume 2, I believe. And, what a great rendition of Call Me. Now, joining me in the studio now, all the way from the UK, is a woman who is an actor, a writer, a stand-up comedian and a broadcaster. She began writing and performing comedy in 2003 and made her stand-up debut in 2005. She's now a regular on all the mainstream comedy circuits around the UK, and she's done a lot of other commenting on a number of other cultural issues, which I'll get her to explain. She also co-hosts a BBC-produced podcast program called Ouch. Welcome to Melbourne and to the studios of Joy 94.9, Liz Carr.
Hello. Joy to be here. It's great. Very excited.
Excellent. Yes. Excellent. Now, have you been to Melbourne before?
I have. I was here, what year are we in now? 2009. I was in here in 2001, and that was great. That was my very first taste of Australia and first when I first fell in love with it. And things have changed. Things have changed quite a lot. I mean, there's the South Bank now, which is beautiful, and, yes. And I've discovered that. And I went back. The place that I really was hoping, I took my partner, my girlfriend there, was the Melbourne Museum. And I was very excited about going there, because when I was there in 2001, there was a Neighbours set, right, and there was Charlene's wedding dress, and as you approached it, the Angry Anderson song suddenly would start playing. Yes. And I was so excited, so we went there, and it's like, oh yeah, the evolution stuff, yeah, the Aboriginal stuff, yeah, all very interesting. All I wanted was the Neighbours stuff, and it's not there. So, you know, great to be back, but I'm slightly disappointed.
Oh, no. I do believe, though, that exhibition is actually travelling the world at the moment. So
I'm breathless now. It's probably in London, isn't it?
I think it actually is. So.
No. Oh, the irony.
You'll have to chase it and see, you'll become a Kylie exhibition chaser around the world.
It was really the song as well. I'll always remember that from Scott and Charlene's wedding, the song, and that was it. It was an iconic moment growing up. So, and, you know.
Okay. All right. Now, you do have a couple of interesting things about your comedy.
Indeed.
Would you mind telling the audience?
Shall I out myself now?
If you would.
Okay.
Please.
Okay. Look, people do wonder, am I, aren't I? And yes, I am disabled. I use a wheelchair, and I know you're dying to ask why, and listeners will be like, why? What's wrong with you? What's wrong? I don't know. For that air of mystery, I don't usually tell people. I like to kind of, you know, keep them guessing. But my favourite thing is I find that the public particularly are comforted by having a medical term, and particularly if it's Latin. So I quite often say it's a meus thronus caputus. That's what's wrong with me, and that just means that my chair's buggered. So that keeps people happy, and that's why.
Right.
But I'm a wheelchair user. I have been since a child, and I look. I don't just look like a normal person sitting down. I look quite freaky, and that's kind of fun in the world of stand-up comedy and all the things that I do. I think people have so many expectations and assumptions about disability and disabled people that, you know, looking quite different and being quite different can be quite amusing, really.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So when you talk about your disability in comedic terms, mm-hmm. And is it something you always have personally treated humorously?
I think so. I mean, whether it, you know, if we're going to psychoanalyze it, whether it's a way of coping with it, I don't know. I'm actually from quite, my parents are funny people. They're not, you know, they don't do it for a living. They're just in their everyday life. I've lived with a lot of humor in my life. And so I think that that's been contagious. And I'm sarcastic. I'm quite cynical. And I'm just, I naturally laugh at things. So I think it was kind of a natural way to go and take that onto the stage, I guess. And obviously I have deep exhibitionist tendencies and like to get my approval by audiences applauding me. So, what can I say?
So that's interesting. So for someone that would obviously have grown up feeling quite unusual, that you've become quite an exhibitionist. So.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, because you do get, like I say, I do look different. I am a wheelchair user, and people do stare. Children stare, adults stare. They're not sure how to approach me. I look quite frail, I'm sure. You know, lots of things about me are a bit different. And so I find that, you know, people stare, and maybe that being on the stage is like, okay, you're going to stare, well, I'll give you something to stare about, and let's play with that. And I do like that, because I get on the stage and, you know, you just know that a lot of people in the audience thinking, oh my God, it must be a charity gig, because it's not, you know, why have we got someone like that up here? And then you start, and hopefully you make them laugh, and then it's like, wham. And of course, once in the set, you know, if I start talking about being a lesbian, oh my God, it's like, not only is she a wheelchair user, she looks like Michael Jackson a little bit, and she's a lesbian. Is there any equal ops box she doesn't tick, you know?
So, well, it was interesting because I tried to study a little bit of your bio and your press releases, etc. Didn't actually mention that you were a lesbian, mentioned you were disabled.
Yeah.
So it was almost like, okay, so you outed yourself as being disabled, but that's actually in your press release. You outed yourself as a lesbian when you said you had a girlfriend, which I actually didn't realise before you came into the room.
I know, I don't have a big banner. I know. I do and I don't. I don't not, if you know what I mean. It's not, but it's not been, because I only came out in 2007, so 2 years ago,
okay,
which is when I met my girlfriend,
yep,
and we've been together since. It's fantastic and all that. But I do gay gigs. I do, and I talk about it in you know, wherever I'm gigging, kind of thing. So I guess it's not something that I particularly have in my PR stuff, but it also depends where that's aimed. So had you approached me and gone, then, you know, no problem saying, well, yeah, that's part of who I am, and it's also part of my set. So if you come and see me at the Art of Difference Festival, plug, then you will hear those jokes. So yeah.
Right. Now, there are a couple other things, though, before we get to the get to the plug. Is you're also a broadcaster with a BBC produced podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ouch. Now, what's that about?
That is the best fun. That is the best fun. Basically, it's myself and a disabled guy called Matt Fraser. He has thalidomide. He's quite well. He does quite a lot all over the world. He's quite, you know, well known, especially in the UK. And we were approached about 3 years ago by, there is a BBC disability website called Ouch, bbc.co.uk/ouch. I say that because we do have quite a huge following abroad, actually.
Okay.
So it's a BBC-produced disability website. And they decided, wouldn't it be good if we could have a talk show and a radio programme? So a bit like Joy FM, but on a really small scale, but for, you know, to do with disability issues, right? And no mainstream broadcaster really was that interested. It was like, it'll be very worthy and it'll be very issue-based. And we wanted it to be very irreverent and quite naughty. And so we got it there. The BBC allowed us to have it as a podcast. So that being a downloadable thing that you listen to rather than, you know, on the airways all the time. And we've got a huge following now. And we just talk about life, you know, as you would down the pub with your mates. We use words like crip and spaz and all those things that would probably get us banned off most broadcasters. Please don't ring up to complain. I know they can be offensive, but honestly, they're in context. They were the words that we use about each other. And our iconic thing in the programme is that we have a quiz called Vegetable, Vegetable or Vegetable, where a disabled person rings up and we have to guess what's wrong with them by asking a series of questions. And you might go, oh my God, I can't believe you do that. But the person puts themselves up for it, and we're like, you know, if you were born nowadays, would you have been aborted? Have you got a head? Have you been this? Have you been? And that's what we're kind of known for. So that's a taste of the tone of it. And you can probably understand why it hasn't made mainstream BBC. But we're aiming.
So when you talk about some of the words you use, I guess it's very similar to in the gay and lesbian community. We'll quite often call ourselves puffs or dykes or fags. And we're doing it for the same reason. We're trying to re-own the words, trying to be in control of that language.
That's it. I think it is. It's taking those words that have been used hurtfully and still probably are used hurtfully by some people and reclaiming them and giving them power. Well, taking the power away from other people and giving them power to ourselves, I think. And so words like crip, I just use that. I'm not being offensive. It's about myself. It's about my mates, and it's not in a derogatory way. But that's not to say, the same with words through the gay community, is that some people within that community will not like that. There's a lot of disabled people as well well that will not be comfortable calling themselves those words and still think they've hurt me. There's no way you can make them positive. So I think, you know, and I think there are, what I've learned is that there are huge similarities, I think, with, you know, all oppressed groups, whether it's about sexuality, whether it's about race or disability. We share a lot of the same issues, basically. So, you know, I think coming out was almost quite easy in many respects, because I'd had that with disability, so I could already identify some of the issues.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you about that a bit later, but it seems like, you know, GLBTI people define their life and their lifestyle and their values through their sexuality,
mm-hmm.
Although most, just as many probably object to having their sexuality define who they are. Do you think it's very similar for disabled people?
I think hugely, yeah. And there's real swings. For some people, you'll get, you know, it's just a part of who I am. I'm much more than that. Other people are, you know, it's absolutely fundamental. And I know that I'm many more things than that. I know I'm not just a label. I know I'm not just lesbian and a disabled woman. But actually, they are huge, and they do impact on my life and my life experiences.
Mm.
And, I mean, that's where I'd come from. But I know that across the board, within disability terms, there's, for some people, you know, and same with gay stuff, there's some people that are very ashamed of being disabled, you know. And actually, until I kind of had, I think, what I would call a light bulb moment when I was about 19, I, despite having all the trappings of being a disabled person, I'm a wheelchair user, very obviously disabled, I didn't want to identify with that group. I was very much in denial about being disabled. It was such a negative label to have, you know. And I think from stuff that I've seen and read and people I've talked to, that again, that can be very similar in, you know, for people coming out as gay and lesbian, that it's like they don't want to. They may have issues for wanting to not come out, you know, because once you do, it can be very difficult.
All right, so tell us why you are here in Melbourne. You're here for some time. You're here for a couple of the festivals
that
are coming up.
Very, very excited, because I've actually never performed abroad, so I'm quite intrigued how I'm going to do abroad. I'm here first for the Art of Difference Festival, which is a disability arts festival, but don't let that put you off and go, oh, it can't be for me then. It's actually for everybody. There's all sorts. There's dance stuff, there's theatre pieces, there's art installations. I'm taking part in stand-up comedy over the weekend. Most of the events are at Gasworks.
Yep.
But the other thing that I'm doing is next week, Tuesday and Wednesday, I have a play called It Hasn't Happened Yet. And it's a play about a character who's a disabled woman who is making her way in the world of stand-up comedy. Ooh, see where I got that idea?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And it isn't about me, but it is about me. And right. It's about really... The way that, you know, actually being different and trying to make it in a mainstream arts world can be very difficult, and sometimes you have to make compromises, and sometimes there's barriers in terms of access and prejudice, but sometimes the barriers are as strong within yourself, you know, your own kind of self going, you're not good enough or... Right.
And this is a play that you first wrote and produced just earlier this year, is that right, in London?
Yeah, I gave it a bit of an outing about a year ago, just to see if it worked. And that was a bit more of a catharsis, I think, of all the things that people had said to me, and it was getting it out of the way. Then I've now developed it. It's got a set, it's got a soundtrack. It's a piece that really, I think, works, is funny, is entertaining, but it is a play rather than a stand-up show.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I premiered it in London about 2 weeks ago, and after I've been in Melbourne and travelling a little bit, I take it to Soho Theatre in London, which is very exciting.
So let's get this straight. So you're doing the play for 2 days, next weekend. So
yeah, 17th and 18th at Northcote Town Hall.
So it's Tuesday and Wednesday.
That's right.
Next week. Yep.
Yeah. So forget St. Patrick's and come along.
Yeah.
And at this weekend, I'm going to be at something called Block Party at Gasworks, which is basically an event that everyone's invited to. It's a free event, but they're taking donations for bushfire relief. And it's kind of, there's music, there's performance, there's cabaret. It's not all disability stuff. There's, you know, non-disabled performers as well. And then on Sunday, I'm in a variety event where I'll just be doing pure stand-up, and that's at Northcote Town Hall. So please do come.
Yeah.
I can be quite funny sometimes.
So tickets for the for It Hasn't Happened Yet at the Northcote Town Hall are, let's have a look there, you can book now, book online at the, where is it, at the Art of Difference website, is that right?
Is it, do you know what, I don't know, isn't this awful,
I know.
We should have come in prepared.
Yeah, and, or you can actually ring 9699 3253.
And there I think actually if you go to Gasworks, at the Gasworks, which is gasworks.org.au, then I think that will give you a link.
Now, you're not only here for those two things, you're also staying on for the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
I am. I'm so excited about that.
Which starts on the 1st of April.
It does. I mean, I'm away for a bit. I'm going to do the old tourist stuff up to Uluru, Gold Coast, Byron Bay, Sydney. So excited about that. Then I'm coming back and I'm going to be in a number of bits of shows, but the two that I definitely can confirm, I'm going to be in one called The Best of British, and one called Shaggers, which is where comedians talk about sex, so that should be quite interesting.
It's a fairly common theme, I imagine.
I think it is, yes.
But you'll have a slightly different bent on it?
Yeah, absolutely. I like your term. You said you weren't funny.
I definitely warned I wasn't funny, that's right. All right, so it sounds like we're going to get to see quite a lot of you over the next few weeks and couple of months.
Yeah,
so.
Whether you want to or not, I'm here.
Excellent.
And please do come along, and it's just great to, you know, what I'm intrigued about is a lot of my stuff is, it's quite on the edge, it's quite dark, and it will be fun for me to see how another country views that. I know we've got a lot in common with the Brits and the Aussies, but still, it's a different country totally, and I'm intrigued at how you all, whether you find it funny or you'll be going, oh my God, I can't believe she said that.
All right, so if you want to go and see Liz this weekend, it's at the Art of Difference.
Perfect.
That's the Art of Difference Festival. Also at the Northcote Town Hall next week, Tuesday and Wednesday, for your own show. And then the Comedy Festival in a few weeks' time.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out for Liz everywhere and get along this weekend if you can.
Please do.
All right. Thank you, Liz, for coming in. It's been a great little piece of fun.
I've enjoyed it. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. It's about 7 minutes to three. This is Joy 94.9. Coming up, we've got lots of great music. But right now, this is Mark Brown with The Journey Continues.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.